This is Mike and Marilee Kier.
Yes.
And Mike and Marilee, you are missionaries. You're here at Faith Camp. You are missionaries to Thailand, what I've learned. You had a presentation, and we'll be sharing that with our listeners. I've learned that you've been in the mission field for 16 years in Thailand, and you gave a little bit in the recording that our listeners will hear. They'll get a little bit of your background, but could you summarize what brought you to decide to be a missionary and how it has been perpetuated for 16 years?
Okay, good. I appreciate the opportunity to share. I grew up, went through kindergarten, through college, and I was not in church. I did not know God. I didn't know anything. I never ever heard the name Seventh-day Adventist. I had no interest in Christianity whatsoever.
That's strange for you're a missionary and you had never heard of Christianity or...
Nothing. And I grew up here up in the Western New York, upstate New York. And when I went away to go to college, I went 1,000 miles away.
Any particular reason?
Because there was a program in Atlanta that I wanted to attend. It was a photography training and I wanted to get. So while I was in that city, I was living like a prodigal son. I thought I had the best of everything. I mean, I was so happy with my worldliness and my rock and roll and all the stuff my buddies and I were doing. And then later I learned what was happening that changed my life. There were churches in that city, Seventh-day Adventist churches in that city, who were going to do some meetings in the city to help people know God. And they started praying for the city and for the people in the city. And when they started praying, my life fell apart.
Really?
Completely crashed. And I had never knew until that time that you could feel so much pain, so much suffering due to relationships and other things. I just was like really just, my life was like crashing.
Sounds like a kind of a whipsaw where you went from the extreme happiness and everything's going your way to the bottom falls off.
That's what happened.
Okay.
And for the first time in my life, I actually thought this thought, I have a spiritual need. And I never thought of that before. Before that, people would come and they would bring literature or whatever they had, and I would be gracious to them. But then when they left, I'd throw it in the trash because I had no interest. But now I suddenly have an interest. And I remember where I was working, there was I was working on a loading dock where the trucks would come in and stuff. Anyway, in that mall, there was a bookstore, and I thought, I've got to get an answer for what I'm struggling with. So I went into the bookstore, and I'm looking on the shelf for something spiritual. And I'm looking, and I probably there's stuff on Hindu and all kinds of stuff. And I had this clear, clear thought come to my mind. Out of the blue, it's like, why don't you start with the Bible? And I was like, where'd that come from? And I'm looking on the shelves, and I don't see a Bible. So I just kind of left the store, and I went back to work, and I asked one of my buddies who I knew was a Christian, where do you get Bibles, Dennis? Do they sell Bibles at your church? And he says, I'll get you one. And he did. And I started to try to read the Bible. That was kind of my first real interest in that. But long story short, my heart was prepared through a series of events, this pain and suffering. And then I was doing things that was inviting evil spirits into my life, the way I was living. And I got attacked by an evil spirit. I thought I was going to die. Something was choking me. And I really couldn't understand the Bible at that time, but I had it sitting by my nightstand. And when I thought I'd never been so afraid in my life. Something was choking me to death, and I just cried out, help! And instantly that thing was gone, and I knew in that moment, God is real, evil is real, and I don't want to play around with this anymore. So I was praying, that was my prayer. It's like, help, I don't even know how to pray, but I was like, help, God, help me to understand this book. And so I started reading, and he led me to Proverbs, and when I read Proverbs, it was like short little wisdom things, and I could get it. I could get it. My fuzzy brain was able to get it. And one day I turned to Proverbs 3, read verse 5 and 6, and it was like it just lit up off the page. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And I thought, whoa, what is this? It's like something speaking right to my soul. And I thought, I've got to look at this book. I've never had that happen before. What is this book? And so then my interest got really deep, and I want to know what this book says. And as I was studying, a brochure came in the mail for evangelistic meetings on the book of Revelation, end time events. And I already knew that the end of the world was coming. I had this sense, end of the world is coming. I don't know what happens when I die. And I had this other sense that somebody knows something that I need to know, but I don't know how to find them. It was just driving me crazy. It's like, I've got to find this. And when I went to that first night of that meeting, the man that got up and spoke, we all had Bibles. He told us which page to turn to. They all had the same paging. And when I thought, this man knows something that I need to know. I've never heard anybody in my life talk like that. And it just hooked me. And I came back night after night until God revealed himself to me. I met God in a way that just made me realize he knows everything about my heart, everything, all the messed upness of my life, and he loves me. And I never had that feeling before in my life, that someone knows me completely and loves me without limit. And it was like, I just melted down. I was crying, and they asked for come forward, and I came forward, and I gave my life to God. And from that point on, people gave me some things to read, and I started reading. And there's a series of books that called Testimonies to the Church. Someone said, if you read that, you'll find God's plan for your life. And I thought, well, I want to find out. And from reading that to my lunch break out in the park, sometimes I'd just be crying, just like, this isn't powerful. But in there, I realized I sense a call to the mission field to leave the U.S. and go somewhere where people don't know about God. But I didn't know where, I didn't know what it meant exactly, but that's where I first got the thought to go to the mission field.
Now, Mike, we've got to get Marilee in this story somewhere. I don't know where she enters, but before we get to that, you're talking to Storm Tower Radio listeners. They're across the whole spectrum of spiritual development. Some of them are listening as they're driving in the car. They've just scanned the radio dial, and your story, they're going to resonate with that. Can something like this happen to one of our listeners, that their life was going great, that the bottom falls out, and that they can connect with something, maybe a meetings or the Bible themselves? Was that a one-time experience that only happened to you, or is that available to everyone?
I believe people have opportunities. I think everyone has opportunities that'll come to them if they recognize. And something that has helped me over time to get perspective is that oftentimes when the worst is happening, the best can be happening too, but you got to look for both. Something bad is happening, but what is the good that's happening? And that's later I look back, and the times I suffered some of the most painful things are the times that were the most beneficial to me, because it taught me lessons, gave me a depth of understanding and perspective that I would have never gained. So now I just thank God for some of these most difficult times. I think, wow, that's actually some of the most valuable things that have ever happened to me. It puts me in like a greenhouse effect for maturity in my character.
And that takes, that's a tough thing. And sometimes you only realize that learning experience after you enjoy the benefits after the trials and the difficulty. Let's see where Marilee, how did you intersect in this picture? You're his wife and a fellow missionary in Thailand. How do you enter the story?
Well, I have quite a different background than Mike does. I was actually born to a family who was working. My mom is a nurse, my dad's a health educator, and they were working in Africa at the time that they had me, that I was born.
So you were born to missionary parents.
So I was born to missionary parents.
Once it's in your blood, it never leaves.
I always felt like that's where I thrive, because that's what I'm used to. Being the minority is normal for me. and living with a goal to share Christ with whoever I meet was just the way I grew up. And I didn't come to America to live until I was 13 years old.
Even though you were a U.S. citizen, right?
Yes, my parents were both U.S. citizens. So I was a U.S. citizen by virtue of their being my parents. But I grew up in Tanzania and Ethiopia and Pakistan. And then we came back to the States, and I found myself surrounded by people that think so different than I thought, and whose goals in life were so different than my goals. You know, I didn't grow up feeling like money was my goal, or just the normal entertainment was like so shallow and empty to me. And so I felt alone during a lot of my years. But just a tidbit, an interesting tidbit before I go on in my story. When I was about 11 or 12, my mom got a book, and it was talking about teenage life and the struggles that teens go through. And I picked that book up and read it, and it was recommending, you know, don't jump into relationships as a young person. Whenever you feel a pull that direction, go alone and pray for your future husband or your future wife, and ask God to bless them, and ask God to prepare them for you and you for them. And so about the time I was 11, I started praying for my future husband. And that was the exact same time we looked back and realized that's the exact same time that the churches in Atlanta started planning this evangelistic meeting. And that's the exact same time that his life, you know, his relationship, he realized his girlfriend was being unfaithful, and just everything crumbled in his life. And he realized he had a spiritual need, and God was answering my prayers. God was answering the prayers of those church members and working to prepare him, because at that time I would have never married him. We were on the opposite ends of the spectrum, but God over the years led him to the place of spiritual growth and led me to the place where when we met, we had so much in common that it just didn't make sense to consider getting married.
Maybe I should add one point here, Tom, that as I became a follower of Jesus, I was asking God to guide for who my partner would be. And I asked him specifically, Lord, I don't need just a wife. I need a family, because I wanted a Christian family and that could relate to me, you know, because I became a Christian. My family wasn't connected that way. And so when I met her and got to know her and know her family's a missionary family, and God already put in my heart to be a missionary, I was quite impressed. And the more we got to know each other, I thought, we're in harmony. We want to be serving God in the mission field, and God gave me a family, and I just thank God for that.
Amen. Now, in your presentation that we're planning to run that you had here at Faith Camp, in fact, as some of you may hear in the background, some of the special music for another session that will be coming up shortly. So how did you guys meet? And then we'll probably get the rest of the story during your presentation.
Well, I finished nursing school and was looking for where God was leading me next. And he finished some training that he got and was looking for further training in Bible work. And we both ended up at the same place in Seattle, Washington. And it was a project called Restore Project. It was focusing on meeting the health needs of the community, finding out whether there was a need for stop smoking or stress recovery and all these different things. We were meeting those needs, but we were also offering people a chance to connect with God, a chance to study and figure out what is this Bible all about. And so we were there getting training, and then in the mornings, and then going out in the afternoons. And so we got acquainted with each other working on this team of people doing just sharing Christ with the city of Seattle and meeting the real needs that they have. And somehow the Lord never clicked us into being a couple at that time for multiple reasons. But a few years later, Mike had left. I had stayed on working longer. But then we both got a call to another project where they were wanting to train the church members to do health ministry and to lead people to Christ. And we both ended up at that ministry. And that's where, I guess you would say, God turned a switch, in Mike's mind at least, and started a whole progression towards us getting together and realizing how much we did have in common for mission.
And Mike, in your presentation, you shared about that you loved your church, your Sabbath school, the study, similar to Sunday school in many Protestant denominations, that the biggest thing you grieved was leaving your class that you were you had a heart for helping people develop a relationship with Christ, but you are called to missionary service as a church member, a missionary, but just an ordinary guy that gets in there and does something and is part of the interpreting, but almost part of the gears that make the spreading of the gospel work. Did I catch that correctly?
I think so, Tom. And there came a place where we were helping with this project, and then the funding, it was like a five-year funding for what we were doing. We were volunteers there, but we got a little stipend and some housing allowance. But then that changed, and we had to make a decision because the project moved on to another location and so forth, changed leaders. And we decided to stay because we felt it wasn't time to leave there. So we actually became members of the church we helped to start. We moved our membership from where it was in the U.S. to the mission field and began in a way that was serving by faith because our stipend went away, our visa went away. We had to get our own visa, and then we trusted people would support us doing this. And that's where the real change for us happened, is like, we're the only ones left from the original group. So we're helping this little church during a time when it was struggling. And that became super rewarding for us to see God is answering our prayers. And somehow we're walking by faith in a way that we had not, we were doing this by faith already, but it was like a deeper experience, more relying on him than we had to before. And it was like, wow, this is so valuable. It's hard to understand and hard to communicate how important this is, especially as we face troublous times ahead where we need to really live by faith.
It was so amazing to see, you know, that transition where we lost our monthly income and we weren't really fundraising. We were just praying. And we saw God consistently providing. There was times it was really tight and it was really close, and we had to pull in the plans and consider carefully how we were using our money. But God never failed us. We have never gone hungry for the last 10 or more years, right? We've been living by faith in the mission field.
Amen. Well, you know, we're going to have to leave something for our listeners to listen to your presentation here at Faith Camp.
Sure.
At Cedar Lake, Michigan. That's in central Michigan here. This is my first Faith Camp, and I'm enjoying it immensely. Mike, do you have any final words?
The one thing I would say, the final thing I would say is that if you look at the sweep of time and history, according to Bible prophecy, we're just a little bit of time left before Jesus returns. And that time is not based on time, but it's based on the gospel going to all the world. And what I notice is that when Jesus comes, then there's no more opportunity to suffer and to serve him in a sinful world. This is the last opportunity ever to sacrifice and to show your love for God in a way that you couldn't do anywhere after this. You can only do it now. And so if you want to learn what it's like to live for Christ, to even to sacrifice and suffer even a little bit now, this is the last opportunity to do that, because soon that opportunity will close, and for eternity it'll never be another time like this. So it'll never be a sinful time like this. Sin will be gone, be washed away, be forever gone. No more suffering, no more death, no more. But now we can serve God and trust him in this time in ways that will bring glory to him and blessing to others as we learn to do this at this last little bit of time in Earth's history. So we thank God for the privilege of being able to serve at this last little bit, because this is our last opportunity. So get a chance. If God's calling you, consider going short-term, long-term, whatever it is, but to do something to help the work to go forward, because the gospel must go to all the world. We need to be part of it. This is our last opportunity to do that.
The gospel changed your life so much. And because of the way God has worked to transform your life, you're wanting to share it with others.
That's right.
Well, listeners, thanks so much, Mike. I'm your host, Tom Majeure, for Strong Tower Radio. Thank you.
across the Jordan River. There's a place of everlasting joy and peace, where the stream of life is flowing there forever, and a crown of life is waiting there for me. That sounds like home to me, right where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
They say there's only joy inside that city, crystal river flowing by the tree of life. No pain or disappointments there to hurt us. And Jesus Christ Himself will be the light. That sounds like home to me, right where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. Our God will be. That sounds like home to me. How beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and
pleasure banish pain.
We're traveling to Emmanuel's land. We soon shall hear the trumpet sound, and soon we shall with Jesus reign, and never, never part again.
What? Never part again?
No, never part again.
What? Never part again?
No, never part again. And soon we shall with Jesus reign, and never, never part again.
I love it.
I love that. Wonderful. Yeah.
Sing the second verse.
There's everlasting spring abides, and never withering flowers, and but a little space divides this heavenly land from ours. We're traveling to Emmanuel's land. We soon shall hear the trumpet sound, and soon we shall with Jesus reign, and never, never part again.
What? Never part again?
No, never part again.
What? Never part again?
No, never part again. And soon we shall with Jesus reign, and never, never part again.
Sing it now.
Could we but stand where Moses stood and view the landscape o'er, not all this world's pretended good could ever charm us more. We're traveling to Emmanuel's land. We soon shall